In today's gospel, Christ foretells the division that following him will cause. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This morning, if I were to ask you, who is the Prince of Peace? Chances are most of you would say, well, Jesus. We call Jesus the Prince of Peace. Now, it's interesting because, you know, that title is never found in the scripture directly. But from the earliest days of the church, he was called the Prince of Peace. Remember, even on his birth, the angels sing, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those of goodwill. Jesus himself, after he rose from the dead, when he appeared to his disciples, what's the first thing he said to them? Peace be with you. And so the earliest days of the church, he was understood as the one who brings us the peace of God. For example, we have the peace of knowing that every single one of us is loved by God. It brings us peace to know that God thinks each one of us as a beloved son or daughter. We have the peace of knowing from Jesus that even if we sin seriously and we're truly repentant, our sins can be forgiven because of his death on the cross. That brings us peace to know that. We have the peace of understanding that if we could really follow his teaching, the basic teaching, let's say that every single one of us is a son or daughter of God and we should treat each other that way. If we could live that way, the world would be a different place. That would bring us a great deal of peace. Then we have the peace of knowing that someday we'll be with him in heaven. Someday he will bring us home to heaven to be with him. All of that brings us the peace of God. Well, he is the Prince of Peace. But isn't it interesting that he knew no peace himself? Even when he was born, Herod's out to kill him, to kill the baby, was a threat to his kingship. He's always in conflict, it seems, in his public life with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And then, of course, he ends up on the cross. The Prince of Peace knew no peace himself. And then today he says something that's very disturbing to us. He talks about families being divided because of him. We hate to think about that sort of thing. We want unity and harmony in our families. And he says, no, you see, a father will be divided against his son and a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law. That's disturbing to us to hear that sort of thing. Now, what Jesus is saying here is really simple in one sense, that following him will sometimes result in people who don't follow him opposing us. He doesn't come to bring division, but when people don't accept him and don't accept his word, that will cause division with those who do. Imagine for a moment this morning, you are a citizen of the Roman Empire in the first century AD. You know, one of the things the Romans disliked about Christians the most was that they seemed to divide families. If you're a member of the Roman Empire at that time and you become a Christian, you decide that Jesus is, in fact, the Messiah. He died and rose again. He is God, the Son of God. You believe that. What does this mean? Well, first of all, it would mean this. You can no longer go with the rest of your family to the pagan temples. They go to worship to the pagan gods and offer sacrifices to the pagan gods. You can't go with them anymore to do that. It means, for example, that you could no longer go with them to the gladiatorial games, watch these men brutally kill each other, because you believe that they were all sons of God and they shouldn't be doing that. You could no longer go and support the gladiatorial games with the rest of your family. If your sister, say you were a young man, if your sister had a baby that was in some way defective or deformed, you could no longer encourage her to bring that baby out into the hinterland and leave it to be eaten by the wild beasts, which was a common practice. You couldn't do those things because you believed in Christ. So it caused division, but it's something you couldn't help if you were faithful to the Lord. Let me give you a modern example of the same sort of thing, which I experienced myself. Some years ago, I knew this family, very wonderful family, father, mother, three children, very faithful, very active in the parish. One day, their 19-year-old daughter came home and told them she was pregnant. She had decided to get an abortion. Her parents tried to talk her out of it, tried to tell her they'd help her with the baby, or if she wanted to put the baby up for adoption, they'd support her in all that. Tried to help her understand this was something she shouldn't do. She was determined. Her friends, whatever. She was of age. They couldn't stop her. They didn't kick her out of the house. They didn't, you know, ostracize her in that sense. But obviously they weren't happy. As she got closer and closer to the day of the abortion, one day she said to her parents, "My abortion is coming up next Tuesday. Will you drive me to the abortion clinic?" They said, "No, we won't. We can't participate in your wrongdoing. We won't. We can't do that. We can't go that far." Ultimately, she found someone else to drive her, came home, lived with her parents for another couple of years until she moved out on her own. But you see, there's an interesting example. They loved her and supported her as far as they could, but there came a place where they couldn't go with her. That caused some division, I'm sure. But they couldn't go with her, participate in her wrongdoing. So maybe that's what Jesus is saying to us in the gospel this morning. What he's saying to us is this: if you are my disciple, there are some things you cannot do. There are some lines you cannot cross. There are some compromises you cannot make because you belong to me. Even when other people misunderstand, even when other people get angry, there are some things you cannot do if you belong to me. May God bless you.